Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is a good God, and he's worthy this morning to be praised. And we're so thankful to have everybody coming in and joining in our podcast gathering this morning. You know, this morning is podcast only. We hope everybody remember that as we come in to worship this morning. And remember, this will probably be our last, unless something drastic happens. This will be our probably our last podcast only gathering. We're going to move to having services all Sundays now. So let's be ready for that. Good to see all of you coming in. I appreciate you this morning. Amen. Joining in with us in this time together. Now we're going to get to our prayer. Shirley's going to come in and give us a prayer. And let's see. And we're going to bring her up. Okay. Try that one more time. I didn't get to you in time enough. All right. She's going to come and give us a prayer. And we'll be able to move further in the services. I will just a second. All right, sure. All right.
Well, good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious Father, how we love you this morning. We bless you. We thank you for your goodness toward us. And we give you praise this morning because praise is how we say thanks. Thank you for every mountain that you've brought us over. Thank you that you brought us through valleys and all types of things that have happened even in this week. And you have been faithful. You have kept us and you have strengthened us during this week. And we thank you for that. We thank you for just all of your goodness toward us, your protection, your provision for us and for our families. And we pray to you that things are as well with us as they are right now. We thank you that we see our Bethsaida family coming in, Father God, strong, and we thank you that we are still here and that we are still together. Then, God, we thank you for your just your love that's been consistent, your love that's been durable and strong when we've needed to feel your love and your presence. We thank you for just your abiding love. Now, God, we even ask that you would, we thank you even for just your patience toward us, your long suffering. We know, God, we've gone contrary to your will this week. We perhaps didn't live up to your expectations. And God, forgive us for living even below our means, what you called and created us to be. We didn't measure up to what you've put on the inside of us because your word says that the greater one lives on the inside of us. So forgive us if we have settled for mediocrity and average and not being all that you had in mind for us to be, the great people of God that you called us to be. We ask for your forgiveness for settling, for thinking small, for having small faith, for thinking lame, Father God, and living not in our purpose, not in the power that you have given us to walk in. So we ask for your forgiveness. But on this week, we ask for another opportunity. We pray, God, that we would remember that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so everything that you have called and created for us to be, every speaking part that you have given us, we pray this week that our light would so shine that men would see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Places, Father God, where we didn't believe you, didn't trust you, were thinking small. I had other things that were a priority that took our affection away from you, our attention away from you. We pray this week, God, that we would go deeper in our relationship with you, deeper in our studies, that you would speak to us in a private place, in a sweet place, a place that would grow us and strengthen us. We pray for just a deeper relationship with you on this week. And we pray, God, wherever you have ordered our step this week, at our jobs, at our schools, that we, God, not be average, we not be mediocre, but God, that we would be all, God, that you had in mind for us. We pray for great things to come through us. We pray, Father God, that we not have average grades, not be average employees, but that, God, we walk in with greatness. We walk in the authority that you have given us, Father God, because your word declares that we are more than conquerors. And so, God, we pray as we walk into our workplaces on this week, God, that you would enlarge our territories, that you would cause us to be obedient and walk in wholeness and walk in healing, and that you would call us, Father God, to turn things upside down. God, we thank you that you've not called us just to occupy space, but that you have called us to change things. You have called us to turn our schools upside down. You have called us, God, to turn our neighborhoods and our communities into a place, Father God, where you rule and where you reign. So we pray, God, that in our lives that you would rule and reign in every area on this week. And we would give you glory and praise and honor for that. God, we pray for the Perry family who had lost this week. We pray for Fran and for Maxine and Aunt Jean. And we pray you would strengthen this family. God, you are the God of all comfort. So we pray you would hold them in your arms and keep them in perfect peace. And we pray as they go through the process of preparing for Trina's home going, God, that you would give them everything they stand in need of. We pray for resources and we pray for peace. We pray for unity in this family during this time. And God, that she would have a special going away experience. And so the family would, Father God, just experience your power and your presence during this time. Then God, there are others on this call on today who have grown weary, who have gone, got some things on their hearts and on their minds this morning. And so we pray, God, as we lay those things at your feet, that you would meet, Father God, everyone on this call at the point of their need, and that they not miss your amazing power on today. Meet us in this place for your word to go forth in power and in might. We pray, God, your word would not be hindered, but we do not want to miss the amazing thing you have for us on today. We want to see your power in a great and in a powerful way today through your word and through your power and presence. And so we pray you will speak, that you would have your way, and that our hearts will be connected to you and to one another. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Cheryl, for the prayer. And thank God for being good. Listen, most of the time around about this time, we have that one song coming on. We go into scripture, into our message. But this morning is all about, we're going to get to the word of God, but we're in a praise mood this morning. And we know somebody's out there, amen, is disappointed, somebody dismayed or discouraged. Somebody might be depressed, or you may just be going through a spiritual drought. Well, just like, amen, for COVID, there's a vaccination. We got a vaccination today for disappointment and discouragement and depression and drought. And that vaccination is praise. And that's what this morning is all about. And you know, and most of you already got a vaccination, Pfizer, Moderna. Hey, you know, just one shot wasn't enough. So this morning you already had one shot of praise. If you caught us coming on, we want to give you one more dose of praise, because somebody, amen, is, the enemy is after you, trying to draw you down. And we have a vaccination of praise for you this morning. So, hey, Gabby's going to come right now, and we're going to listen to one more song and praise and move forward. Oh. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is a mighty good God and worthy to be praised this morning. And I'm just glad, amen, to be on the podcast with you. Now let's get into the Word of God. Amen. I was tempted to go on with that praise a little while longer, but we're gonna get back to it. Let's get into the Word of God from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Amen. I'm going to be reading this morning from the Christian Standard Bible. Verse 1 reads, "A prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to the Shigonoth. Lord, I have heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. Revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years. In your wrath, remember mercy. God come from Timon, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His brilliance is like light, rays are flashing from his hand. This is where his power is hidden. Plagues go before him, and pestilence follows in his steps. He stands and shakes the earth. He looks and startles the nation. The age-old mountains break apart. The ancient hills sink down. His pathways are ancient. I see the tents of Cushan in distress, the tent curtains of the land of Midian tremble. Are you angry at the rivers, Lord? Is your wrath against the rivers? Or is your rage against the sea? When you ride on your horses, your victorious chariots, you took the sheath from your bow. The arrows are ready to be used with an oath. You spit on the earth with rivers. The mountains see you and shudder. A downpour of water sweeps by. The deep roars with its voice and lifts its waves high. Sun and moon stand still in their lofty residence. At the flush of your flying arrows, at the brightness of your shining spear, you march across the earth with indignation. You trample down the nations in wrath. You come out to save your people, to save your anointed. You crush the leader of the house of the wicked and strip him from foot to neck. You pierce his head with his own spears. His, His warriors storm out to scatter us, gloating as if ready to secretly devour the weak. You tread the sea with your horses, stirring up the vast water. Amen. Amen. Let me see. It's good. We'll get to the rest of them. Now, today, we are talking, we've been on our series entitled Singing in the Rain. When we say singing in the rain, if you're new to the series and today, we don't mean singing in the rain, R-A-I-N, but we mean singing in the rain, R-E-I-G-N. We are singing, or we are able to worship even in whatever difficult situation we are going through, because we know our God reigns. He's on the throne. He is ultimately and powerfully and lovingly and holy, 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 and he's in charge. And that's what gives us the ability to worship him even in difficult times. Amen. You can sing when you know our God reigns. Amen. We begin this series and we look at chapter 1. I'm going to go through a quick review just in case somebody coming in just for the first time today. And in chapter 1, we talked about, amen, the prophet Habakkuk. And he was questioning God. And we entitled that message, Questioning God. You can go on the podcast. It should be there if you haven't heard. But he questioned God. He questioned God and said, God, can you hear us? Amen. God, are you listening? God, are you listening? Because it seems as though you are not listening to us. Because when we look around, it seems as though you are indifferent. You don't care. And you are inactive. Because we see all this evil and the righteous who love righteousness and are praying for revival, but yet we see evil all around us. So God, are you listening to us? Because it doesn't seem like you're moving on our behalf. It doesn't seem like you're intervening, God. Are you listening to us? And then God speaks and said, oh, yes, I'm listening. You didn't see me, but behind the scene, you don't always see me working, but behind the scene, I've been working. Behind the scenes, I've been addressing your prayer. I know you've been praying and screaming and crying out to me. I know you've been passionately seeking me. And I've been hearing you, and I've heard your prayer. And I know that you really want a better righteousness and a better nation. So I hear you. And I see what's going on. I see the corruption, the sin, the idolatry that's in Judah. And I've already got something in mind. I'm already beginning to work on it. I'm raising up the nation Babylon, the Chaldeans, and they're going to be the instrument I use to discipline and to correct what's going on in Judah. I hear you. But then after God says, hey, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, I'm raising up the Babylon to correct and discipline Judah, then Habakkuk had another question. God, are you making a mistake? Because you know Babylon or the Chaldeans are a cruel and ruthless people. They are violent and treacherous. And I know that God, you are holy, and God, You're a God that can't even stand to look upon evil. How can you use this nation that's even worse than we are to discipline Judah? And God says, I like the fact that God doesn't always answer our questions. But when God didn't give Habakkuk an explanation, Habakkuk did what we all should do sometimes. Just listen. Because it said Habakkuk went to the watchtower. He didn't literally go to a watchtower, but in his heart, in his inner person, he says, I'm going to be like those that watch on the wall of the city and see what's coming. So they can, if it's something coming that's difficult, if it's something coming, an enemy coming that's going to destroy us, I can tell everybody and we can prepare ourselves. So I'm going to do that same thing in the spiritual realm. And I'm going to wait and see what God has to say. And God comes in and says in chapter 2, God comes in. In chapter 1, he questioned God. In chapter 2, we see the prophet is watching God. He questioned God in chapter 1 in that first message. Now we see him watching God, watching to see what God will say. And sometimes when you're going through, you have to watch and see what God is going to say. Watch and see what God had to say to you. He may say it in your personal Bible study. He may say it through a godly counselor, discipler, or friend. He may say it through a Sunday school lesson. He may say it through the Sunday morning sermon. Or he may say it through a message that you hear online. But God, amen, will speak. If you're sincere about hearing him, he will speak to you. And God speaks to Habakkuk and says, hey, Habakkuk, I realize your concern. But not only am I going to chastise and correct and discipline Judah, but I want to tell you, because Babylon and the Chaldeans are such an evil and treacherous and cruel and violent people, when I'm finished using them as an instrument to correct Judah, I'm going to bring down judgment on them. Because they've committed crimes, they're extortionists, they are covetous and greedy, and they are able to manipulate and exploit poor, and they are cruel, and they are contemptible and cultic. So he said, because they commit crimes and are covetous and cruelty, and they're contemptible. And they're cut and even they're carousing, just like I'm going to correct and discipline Israel, it's going to even be worse for them. So don't think they're getting away with it. Don't think they're getting by with it, my brothers and sisters. God is a holy God. And he's a holy and he's a just God. And he will always, because it's his very nature, he cannot allow sin to go without there being some payment for sin. And sometimes when we're going through and it seems like everything is dark all around us, we have to hold on to who we know God to be. We got to know that he's an eternal God. He's been here always. He's an uncreated creator who's always existed. He's a holy God who is perfectly right and powerfully just. He is a God that's sovereign, who rules, who's on the throne and cannot be impeached, cannot be fired. Amen. He's God and God alone. The same God he was yesterday, he'll be today and forevermore. That's the God that we serve. Not only is he eternal, holy, and sovereign, but he is a faithful God. He's a God you can depend on. He's a reliable God. He's a God that keeps his promises. Amen. And when he gives us a promise or gives us a word, God will always back up his word. That's the God we serve, my brothers and sisters. And he is a great God. He is a great God. But you know, even as in chapter 2, as Habakkuk was, God was saying to Habakkuk, all those things that he was going to do to Babylon, the Chaldeans, even then we saw hope. Amen. Even then we saw hope. You look at verse 14, he said, one of these days, yes, dark right now, but one of these days the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's glory as the waters of the sea. One of these days, amen. God, amen, when he come back, and especially in the millennial realm and eternity, the earth will be filled with God's glory. There will be nowhere. It'll be like the sea. There'll be nowhere you can't experience the glory of God. It will overtake the whole sea. And then he didn't stop there, because in verse 20 he said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. In other words, the Lord is still on the throne. He's still there. My brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what you're going through today, I do want to tell you that God is still in charge. Yes. He's still in charge of the universe. That's why the sun comes up every morning, because he's still in charge. That's why the earth is still on its axis, because he's still in charge. God is still in charge. He had the last say. When he says something, amen, it's a period. No man can change it. When he opened a door, nobody can close it. That's the God that we serve. But then he moves us on. And in chapter 3, he begins chapter 3 with the prophet. In the beginning of chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the prophet prays. He's praying. Now listen to me. There is a word in chapter, verse 1. I think it's in, let me make sure. A prayer. This is the prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to the Shigonoth. And the Shigonoth means, because this is not only a prayer, but this is a song. And we're going to see that Habakkuk not only was a prophet, but amen, Habakkuk was in the music ministry, and he was a musician. You'll see this in that last verse of chapter 3. He's in the music ministry, and he's part of, I want to be saying, but it seems like he does play an instrument. He talks about it in that last verse. And this last chapter is like a poetic song. Amen. And that word Shigonoth means, amen, this song is to be sung with passion. And this song is to be sung with intense feeling. This is not a laid back, easy listening song. When you're talking about how great our God is, this is a song that's supposed to be sung with emotion and passion. And then he says in chapter 2, as he begins this prayer, which is part of a song, Lord, I have heard the report about you. Amen. Lord, I have heard the report. And then somebody says, I have heard what you said. Because the first thing we must do in this prayer, our first thing is to focus on the word of God. What you going to do? What do we do with the word of God? What do we do with the word of God? It says when the word of God is spoken, in chapter 3, when he spoke the word of God, we'll see later on that there was a reaction. There was a reaction as he spoke. He said, Lord, I stand in awe. I mean, you're just amazed, and you stand in a place of amazement and also a place of carefulness, because you're so in awe of him. You don't want to do anything to displease him. Sort of like what the Bible means by fear of God. When you hear God's word, you ought to stand in awe and you ought to humble yourself. The word of God should bring humility to us, to the point that we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you look closely, when you're talking about him, he's in awe and he's humbled himself, and he's coming with humility. It seems there's a difference in his posture in the beginning verses of chapter 3 than it was in 1. In chapter 1, when he was questioning God and then really complaining to God, but now we see a change in his posture, because when you see the mightiness of God and the greatness of God, it changes your posture. And when he heard the word of God, which he had just heard what God was going to do to the Babylon, it leaves you in awe. Amen. Amen. When we hear the word of God today, my question is, when you hear the word of God, whether it's when you're reading it yourself, a personal Bible study, whether you're in a Bible study, where you're at church and in the congregation, in the main gatherings on Sunday morning or some other time, or where you're hearing it online or on television, does the word of God move you? The problem is we listen to the word of God today like it's just a time for entertainment. We go to the word of God like it's a buffet where you can take some and leave some. We have such a casualness about receiving the word of God that it does not leave us in awe. Sometimes I wonder if we believe that the word of God is true. Because when you believe, the reason why Habakkuk was in such awe, because he heard what God said, and what God said he was going to do, and he realized, wow, that's going to be, he's going to judge us, and he's going to use the Babylon, then he's going to judge the Babylon. And he was in awe. Something came over him because he realized what was facing. When God's word comes to you, does it impact you? Or do you just leave like you came? You need, when the word of God is being spoken or you hear it, whatever form God says, speaks to you, you need to take the word of God seriously. The word of God is not a plaything. You need to take God's word seriously. It ought to leave you in awe. You say, oh yeah, we heard what you're going to do. We heard about your God. And I stand in awe. That even though Babylon is powerful, amen, and you're going to use them, but then it says you are, Babylon is powerful, and they got out of it, but you are even more powerful than Babylon. And the only reason why Babylon can do what they're doing is because you raised them up. Because you're God. You're just that kind of God. So first, in his prayer, he addresses the word of God. But then secondly, he addresses the work of God. Look at it. Lord, I have heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. I done heard about you. That song said, hey, Lord, do what you're famous for. God is famous for something. And something, when you think about how good God been, when you hear about all that God has done in scripture, or even today as Christians and believers share what God is doing in their life, you say, wow, what an amazing God we serve. And you're in awe of him. Sometimes, amen, when you're going through, you say, God, I done heard about you. I done heard your reputation. Amen. They've been telling me about your resume and the things you can do. And in the situation that I am now, God, I just need you to do what you're famous for doing. I just need you to do what you're famous for doing. And I'm so glad that the God that we serve, just like he did it for others, he will do it for you. Then look at the word of God. But also, then it said, okay, I done heard about you. I done heard about how great you are. But then look at what it said. Revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years. He said, all right. I done heard your reputation. I've been reading about you in the Bible and all you've been doing. I've heard other believers. I've heard pastors and teachers and my fellow believers saying what you've been doing in their life. But God, I'm going through something right now. So Lord, the same thing that I've been hearing, the thing that you've been famous for, Lord, I need that same kind of power. I need that same kind of movement to take place, because I'm going through something, God, that's too much for me. It's too heavy for me. I can't handle it all by myself. Amen. I can't control this thing. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough strength. God, the only way I'm going to make it through this thing is if you're on my side. But because we realize, my brothers, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we wouldn't be where we are today. So you're saying, God, we need you. I need you right now to do that thing that I constantly hear people saying you can do. And I hear your word saying, scripture after scripture, all through the 66 books of the Bible, that you can do. Now, I need that power in my life. I need that power to move on my behalf, because I'm going through something that's too heavy for me. My burden is too heavy. My heart is too broken. I got too many wounds, God, and you're the only one that can heal me. I don't know a doctor that I can go through that can heal me, but I know God is able to heal. They told me you was a healer, and they told me it was a stranger in the city, and he's healing. So, God, do what you're famous for. Do what you're famous for. So revive that work. That work that you've been doing all these years, God, amen. I need you to, amen, right now, continue to do it in my life. To continue to do it in my world. Continue to do it in my community. Amen. Do what you do. Do what you're known for. Do what you're famous for. God, do what only you can do. I heard about you. You got a reputation. And I heard that you were the real goat. Amen. They say they always giving somebody the name of goat, the greatest of all time. But I know who the real goat is. I know who is, amen, the greatest of all time. Because I know of your reputation. And because I know what you're famous for, I'm going to have some expectations for you. I expect you to move on my behalf. Because I've heard you moving on somebody else. And I know you're holy. And I know you're faithful. And I know you're eternal. And I know you're sovereign. So I need everything that I know about you to come to me in my life to get me through the situation that I'm going through. And I want to tell you that he's an able God. He's an able God. So the prophet says, listen. He says, you got to do something with the word. He says, the word of God left him in awe. And then he said, the work of God said, come on, God, do your work. He said, I didn't understand it at first, but I see what you're doing now. It's going to be kind of rough, God, but he said what Jesus said in his model prayer. In the model prayer, he said, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, God. If it's your will, I don't understand it. I don't know if I can make it to it, but your will be done. Because I know you are God who is perfectly right, who always done what's to your glory and for our good. And I'm willing to submit myself to that. How about you, my brothers, my sisters, ladies and gentlemen? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to submit yourself to the word of God? And then say, God, just do your work. I may not understand it, but just do what you do. However you want to work it, God, I'm just let you work it out. Because you can work everything. I know when you work, you work all things together for the good of them that love God and got a call to his purpose. So, God, I trust in what your word say. I trust in your promises. I'm trusting everything. Even the pain and the sorrow and the struggle that you allow in my life is for my greatest good, because it will cause me to be closer. It'll cause me to be more like Jesus. And I want to be more like him. So not only does he in the prayer talk about the word of God and the work of God, but then he addresses the wrath of God. He said, God, I know you're going to come in correction and discipline, and I understand that your wrath, your attitude, and your actions towards sin, how terrible they can be. So, Lord, just have mercy in your wrath. Sometimes it's all, you know, sometimes when you're going through, that's all you can say. When life becomes difficult and you don't realize, well, maybe I said some things that God is trying to get out of my life. You just say, Lord, I realize I may be going through this as an act of discipline, but Lord, just have mercy. And that's what Habakkuk said. I realize how rough Judah was and how bad Babylon was. And God, I know what how cruel they are when they're going to come against us. But I know you're trying to correct us, but Lord, could you just have mercy? Have mercy on us, Lord. Don't give us what we deserve. Give us some mercy. Don't give us a deserve. Give us your grace and your love. I know you got to correct it, but don't let it be as worse as it could be. Don't destroy us. Just correct us. Just discipline us where we can. Don't bring an end to us, but just don't bring an end to the nation that's your people, your chosen people. But just get them right. Just give us enough discipline to get us back on the right track. Give us another chance. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Then he goes on, and the next verses are long. After he prays, he ponders. After the prophet prays, the prophet ponders. He began to think about God. Sometimes in prayer, when you start praying, sometimes praying turns into pondering, and you start thinking about how great God is as you ponder all that God is able to do. And listen, let me quickly go through this. We can spend all day, because this is a poetic from verse 2 to verse, 15. Is kind of a poetic time for God. And it's a poem, and it's a Hebrew poetry. You know, poetry just gives you some pictures. It gives you some pictures. And in verse 1 to 4, he gives us a picture, a kind of, when you read it in the places where he at, it gives us a picture of the God that met Moses on Mount Sinai. Because the cities that talked about in those verses are close to Mount Sinai. And when you remember in Mount Sinai was when God showed his glory. Moses said, let me see. Moses went up there and covered, but got behind a rock. And God's glory was on Mount Sinai when he gave Moses, amen, the Ten Commandments. Look at verse 4. His brilliance is like the light. Rays are flashing from his hand. Amen. That's the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. This is where his power is hidden. Sometimes God is powerful, but it's hidden. You don't see him because he's working behind the curtains. He's working behind the scenes. His power and glory. Even Moses had to cover himself up from it, but he was still working on behalf of the children of Israel that didn't come up in the mountain. God is still working on your behalf even when you don't see him. Then he talks about, hey, not only in the word in verse, key word is that verse 3 said, God comes from Timon. In other words, he comes to our rescue. Amen. He comes to us. This whole, all these verses are about God's protection and provision for the nation of Israel, his chosen people. And then for us as believers in the New Testament, God said, yes, I'm coming because I'm going to take care of you and see you through whatever situation you're in. So God comes. That's the first thing that the prophet tells us as he pondered. God is coming. He's coming. I wish somebody would hear this morning. I don't care what you're going through. He's coming. He's on the way. God is on his way. He's coming to be there to provide and protect and help you get through whatever you're going through. He's coming. But then in verse 6, he says, he stands. So he's coming, but not only is he coming, but he stands. When he get there, he stands. And it says he stands and shakes the earth. He looks and startles the nation, and the age-old mountains break apart and ancient hills sink. His pathways are ancient. Anyway, when God stands and when God moves, everybody got to pay attention, because he shakes up everything. Amen. Maybe that's why we're going through what we're going through because God is shaking us up. He's trying to get folks to say, hey, I don't care what you got. I don't care how what's going on in your world and how many discoveries you had and how great a nation and about your military power and how great a nation you are not. I'm going to tell you, all I got to do is just stand and shake the world. And if I stand and shake the world, amen, everybody have to bow down to me because I'm God and God alone. He's a God that's able to stand and shake the world. He shakes the world sometimes on our personal worlds in order to get our attention and to call us back to him. Is it shaking your world today? All those nations who thought themselves to be great, but when he stood and shook the world, they saw that God is the one that's really in charge. Look at these verses. In verse 9, you took the sheet from your bow and arrows are ready to be used with an oath. You spit on earth and the waters. And it talks about in verse 8 and 9, how God controls nature. God is so powerful, he controls nature. Waters, rivers, seas. Amen. God controls everything. And then in verse 11, he said, the sun and the moon stand still. Now, even though this is a poem, I think, amen, what the God wants us to realize right here is in this poem, that this inspired poem from Habakkuk, he's saying, listen here, the sun and the moon stand still. Now, you remember when the sun and the moon stand still. I told you God, he comes to protect and to provide for his people. But you remember when Joshua was in a battle and amen, and he said, if the sun go down, we got the enemy where we want. But if the sun go down, they can get away. So we need the sun to stand still. And they prayed, Joshua prayed for the sun to stand. Do you realize for the sun to stand still, that means the earth had to stop rotating. And when the earth stopped rotating, all of nature should have collapsed. But God is so awesome. He can stop the earth from rotating and nothing goes wrong. And Joshua was able to, amen, to finish the battle because the sun stood still all day. There was no night. What a power. I'm trying to tell you, when he comes, he's on his way to your rescue. And when he's come, he's got the power to do whatever needs to be done in your situation. Because this is the God that's powerful enough when you call on him to, amen, he will. Basically, what these verses are saying, God is so much for you, he will move heaven and earth on your behalf. Good God Almighty, what kind of God do we serve that loves us so much and is so powerful that he will move heaven and earth on our behalf? But not only does he come, not only does he stand, but look at verse 12. He marches. Said 12, you march across the earth with indignation. You trample down the nations in wrath. You come out to save your people, to save your anointed. You crush the leader of the house of the wicked and strip him from foot to neck. Amen. You pierce his head with his own spirit. His warriors storm out to scatter us, gloating as if ready to secretly devour the weak. You tread on the sea with your horses staring up the vast water. Listen, he said, listen. He says, when he marches, now this can be talking about him marching through the Canaan. You remember when Joshua went into Canaan and he was with the Israelites and they were able to conquer all the nations. You know, they went in and conquered Jericho and all the other nations until they were able to take over the promised land, the land that God had promised them. But the battle wasn't there. The battle was the Lord. It was the Lord marching through Canaan and, amen, giving Israel that land that had been promised them. And then it talks about here, when it talks about in verse, and they did it this, verse 23, you come out to save your people, to save your anointed. Amen. These are God chosen people. He said, hey, I'm there for you. I'm there for my people. I'm on your side. And you crush the leader of the wicked. And you know, right there, he may have been talking about Nebuchadnezzar because it goes on and says, you strip him from foot to neck. And when Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when he lost his mind because he thought he was the big one. He thought he was the one that built Babylon and made Babylon great and not God. When he lost his mind, hair grew out on his face, and he was crawling around naked in the fire. And it said right there, he stripped him from foot to neck. The head of the enemy, the leader of Babylon. That's how powerful our God is. You better be careful. That's why we ought to stand in awe of him, because he is an awesome God. He is a powerful God. But all through this poem, all through this song, is trying to tell us how mighty our God is. Now listen here, I'm about finished. When I break this thing down to three, I had 3 points. First, in chapter 3, I had 3 points. I said, first, the prophet prayed. The prophet prayed. And I said, second, the prophet ponders. He thinks about all the great miraculous things that God had, and he puts it in a poetic form. How great our God is. So he prays, he ponders, and then when you get to verse 16, after he prayed and after he pondered about the great, when you get to verse 16, he praises. Now, this whole sermon, amen, I talked about it when I talked about chapter 1, he questioning God, 2, watching God. In chapter 3, the title of this sermon was praising God. But listen here, we talk about him praying and then pondering God. And then when he get to verse 16, he's praising God. But I'm not going to talk about praising God today. Not from those verses. I'm saving that for next week. Today is part 1. Next week is part 2. Because when I want to talk about praising God, I need to be in your presence so I can really talk about praising God. Amen. And we need to be all together. So don't miss next week. When we talk about praising God, amen, he's prayed to God and he's pondered about God. But next week, we're going to look at these last 3 verses, I think, and we will see how he praises God in part 2 of this sermon called Praising God. But I did want to leave you, since I just talked about how wonderful his works are. Amen. I didn't want to leave it in the Old Testament. You know, he has done some things for us as New Testament believers too. And I want to tell you the main thing, because I can't go over everything, because my time is limited. Just remember that he loved us so much that our Lord and our Savior came all the way. Just like talking about he coming from Sinai to help Israel. He came all the way from heaven to earth. Amen. To show us the way. He came from glory to die on an old rugged cross out on Calvary and pay the price for our sin. Yes, he came and stood everything that was thrown at him. He stood when he was spit upon, crowned with thorns, marched up Golgotha's hill. He stood and he marched on up that hill. And he took our punishment on Calvary. And they killed him up there. But they didn't really kill him. He really gave his life for us. He paid for our sins on Calvary. Amen. He took it all so that we can experience God's mercy. What a mighty God we serve. But I'm so glad that after he died and they buried him on Calvary, after they took him down from the cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb off Calvary, that same Jesus that they laid in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb on Friday, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And just like he had power to be there for Israel, my brothers and sisters, he got all power to be there for his church today. If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall separate us from the love of God? We are more than conquerors through Christ, because he loves us. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Oh, my God. I'm glad. Remember now, when you pray, take the word seriously. Pray the word of God. See, when you have faith that the word of God is true, you can pray the word of God. Because when you pray the word of God, you're praying for his work. You're praying for his work to be done. And when you pray for the work to be done, because he is a God of mercy, when you pray for his work to be done, you will experience his mercy. And you will personally get to see what he's famous for happen in your life, in your world. Oh, I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but listen, I hope the Lord, if he just give me enough strength in my body, you know, it's always the Lord. We never know when our day is coming. But if we can get together next week, we're going to have a good time. It's going to be praise. It's going to be crazy praise. I need y'all to get there. It's going to be crazy praise because God is worthy of praise. Amen. God is so good. Amen. We don't want no sophisticated praise. We want crazy praise because God has just been so good and so powerful in our life. Now, just like us, the same thing he's doing on behalf of Habakkuk, he's going to do for us. He's able to I'm trying to tell you, if God had brought me from worry to worship, from fear to faith, from gloom to glory, from anxiety to ecstasy, from sobbing to singing, I'm ready to give him the praise that's due him because he's just that kind of God. Just be praying that God, we want to really praise you because you deserve our praise. So we need to get together, God. We want to give you next week, next Sunday, if you allow us to live that long, the praise that's due to you. Because you're worthy to be praised and adored. You're mighty and magnificent and awesome, God. And the only way, God, we can get through what we're going through, we got to get through this thing with praise. We got to praise our way through our predicament. We got to praise our way through this pandemic. We got to praise our way through this kind of policing that we're receiving. We got to praise our way to these political issues. We got to praise our way through our problems. We got to praise our way through this thing. So God, that's what we're all about. We're getting ready. We're going to be praising you all week long. We ain't going to wait till Sunday because we know tomorrow, this evening, we're going to already have things to praise you for. And Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to already have some more things to praise you for. And Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're going to have some things to praise you for. And Saturday, we're going to have something to praise for. So when we get there Sunday morning, we're going to be full of praise. Amen. And we want to tell you for all, we want to go ahead and praise you for all you've done for us. All the way through this pandemic, you've been good to us. Hallelujah. All the days of our lives, you've been good to us. You saved us and changed us and made us new. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You're worthy because you're so good and so great and so kind. Oh, Lord, we had some difficult times. But I feel our praise coming on, God, because you've been so good to us. We can't help but to praise you. We can't help but to praise you. You're just that good. Woo. If you're on the podcast, all of you out there in this gathering, make this a week of praise. Just make it a week of praise. Don't complain as much as you do. Just praise more than you complain. Don't focus on your problem. Don't focus on your problem. I see what Habakkuk, in chapter 1, he was focused on the problem. But in chapter 3, he was focused on the problem solver. Woo! And when you focus on the problem solver, your problem gets smaller because your God gets larger. And you know everything going to be all right, so you can go ahead and give him praise, even though you can't see your answer yet. But you know it's on the way because he's coming. He's coming to your situation. He deserves praise. Get ready, gonna come with our song. Close out. He's a worship. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. Worthy of your praise and adoration. As you listen to the song, just take time to realize
how good our God is and how worthy he is to be praised. And in just a second, you heard a selection. Listen and be blessed.
I have a hope found in your name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate all of you coming into the podcast today. And God is a good God. We're looking forward to the gathering next week. And we're looking forward to just a whole week of just experiencing God. And it's just a time of thanking God. And I know if you're going through, it's hard to get through whatever difficulty. But to try to focus on how good God is and praise Him and thank Him for all the good things that He's done. I'm so glad all of you joined us today in this time of worship. And it would not have been the same without you. So we leave you.
Do you know what I see here? I see every single house wasting money.
With the commercial, we got more commercials. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, my brothers and sisters, for all that you've done. Thank you for joining us today. Continue to pray for our church. So many are going through so many difficult times right now with addictions and bereavement and just a difficult world we're living in today. So just be in prayer. And when you start in prayer, you'll always end in praise if you're praying right. That's a good thing about it. So and we're going to get out here, and I hope you have a great day. Now, I know some of you older, old school praises. Amen. We played Tori and Wales for that invitation song. Some of you old school probably couldn't get with Tori and Wales because, you know, it's kind of more of a younger person. So we wanted to give something for the younger people. But now for you older ones, hey, I'm going to go out. We're going to sign off. But as we sign up, we're going to give you one more. Because I know, you know how it is. They told me, if you're 65 and older, you need a booster. So we're going to go off with a booster for y'all older ones. Amen. So we're just going to sign off, but you can listen to it as long as you want to. And then we end after the song. But this is just a booster for your older ones and maybe some of you young ones to listen to as we sign off today. Have a great week. Enjoy God, because your God is mighty and awesome in every way. Amen. Now, we pray that you be blessed and be a blessing as we listen to one more selection as we go off. And when the selection ends, amen, you won't hear from us again today because it's the end of a broadcast, but we did want to give you one more thing, just for a booster for the older ones. Amen.
Sometimes. Yeah.